It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Breaking news.
What?
Just kidding. Gotcha.
Hump day.
Hump day.
It's Wednesday.
Ah!
Happy hump day. We are halfway through the week. Unless your name is Mateo, then we are all the way through the week because you are leaving us right after the show.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Stupid House of Heroes.
They're not stupid. They're just trying to get, they're just looking for a reason. Roaming through the night, trying to find their place in this world. Let them do what they need. I'm just along for the ride.
Amazing.
Hey, is Nate coming in for shock therapy today?
Yeah, he is.
All right. So we got Comics Corner today.
Yeah.
Shock Therapy Live today, probably.
Yeah.
Tons of cool stuff.
It's going to be a good day. We are excited. A lot of comics this week. Comic news as well.
Comic news.
Some interesting things happen. The Olympics are going on.
Yes, they are.
Man. For those... Actually, no, it's not a spoiler alert anymore because yesterday... Man, if you are a ESPN watcher...
ESPNer.
They like to ruin everything about the Olympics.
They do.
Because, obviously, being over in Sochi, they can't broadcast anything live if they want it to be in primetime. Yesterday, Shaun White was going for his third gold in a row.
He would have been one of just a few Olympians who've gotten three golds in a row.
He didn't even medal.
Nope, he got fourth.
Fourth place! A lot of people were saying age is a factor. Snowboarding is a young man's sport.
I know, and he's already, what, 27?
Gosh, so old.
What an oldie.
I know. Everybody that medaled was not considerably younger, but they were definitely younger than Shaun White. People are blaming the conditions. He fell on the first run.
Oh.
I don't know, man.
I don't know either because I don't know a lot about snowboarding.
I do. I know a whole lot of things.
So what's a dealio?
I just think that... You know what I honestly think is a factor? People are jerks to him.
Yeah.
People love him or hate him. And even his own teammates are coming out saying, I really hope he doesn't medal. I hope he doesn't. I hope he doesn't.
Really?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, that's mean.
Well, it's definitely an individual sport. He's not a teammate. And, yeah, I think people just are kind of tired. He's got his own mountain.
So?
They helicopter him over to his half pipe.
Well.
But, I mean, if you got the cash and you're an Olympian.
Well, they should just do the Olympics there next time. They should do them on Shaun White Mountain.
Shaun White Mountain.
Is it Ginger Mountain?
Yes.
I bet Celeste can go hang out there.
Yeah, she can.
You have to be a ginger to get on it.
And you have to have a helicopter, because you actually can't get there in the
Every ginger has a helicopter.
Yeah.
Don't you know about it? Hey, if you're a ginger out there and you're getting offended, I'm sorry.
Why would they get offended?
Because it's 6 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
I just woke up.
Just waking up.
Everybody's like, hey, I just woke up. Quit talking about me.
And their resident spokesperson didn't even medal yesterday in the Olympics.
It's got to be a little disappointing.
It is. You know what? I like Shaun White. I was rooting for him. I was hoping he was going to do it, but all right. Not so much so that I'm devastated today.
I like him now because he got a haircut.
This is like your first sitting down and having to watch a lot of Olympics, huh?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
It's fun watching the Olympics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like having the Olympics on in the background, doing other things.
Exactly.
And then it's like, oh, did you see that? Boop, boop, boop. You can either rewind it or they will show it immediately. Plus, I'm a member of what I like to call iWatch.
Ah.
Yeah, and it's all about Bob Costas's eye.
Which he is gone now.
I know. So
replaced him.
It was perfect timing for him to head out because now I'm going out of town. I'm not going to be able to watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it was just perfect timing. I bet when I come back on Sunday, Bob Costas right back in the mix, slightly less, you know, debilitated eyes.
Gosh.
It'll be great.
Yeah, his eye went from 1 to 2.
It went from the Eye of Sauron to the Two Towers.
Yeah. bad to worse. And so I think Matt Lauer, right, I believe, is who they brought in to replace him.
Man, I feel sorry for Bob Costas just because, you know, he's not, like, my favorite guy or whatever. But I feel bad that he got this eye thing. You know, he's had, you know, like, to be a reporter or a sports reporter especially.
To be able to
cover the Olympics, that's like
– sport.
That's the big deal, though.
Yeah, it is the big deal.
You know, that's the tip top.
Trying to get there.
The only way you could be better, I think, if you were a sportscaster and you were covering the Olympics, is if you could go back in time and cover the Dream Team with Michael Jordan and all those guys. That's the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. That's when you know you made it.
Or
I made
Al Michaels
it.
With the USA hockey team.
Yeah, that
was cool.
Or even Kerry Strug with the gymnastics team back in the day.
Yeah, but I feel like those people, I don't know. Those are like different sports, and so you're like covering, but
see, like basketball,
it's hard to get excited.
Basketball, it would be cool.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, Canada is dominating in the Olympics right now.
Well, of course, they're in Norway.
Yeah.
Cold places
are winning the Winter Olympics. Who knew?
Yeah.
Completely unpredictable.
In the meantime, my son is solving the wind energy crisis.
Oh my gosh, he is.
So, his science fair is this Thursday.
Yes.
That's tomorrow. And so we decided the best way.
Golly.
The best way to prepare for a science fair.
Yeah.
Is the week of. Start your project.
Start your project. That's how I did it. That's how you did it, too.
Of course it
That's
is.
That's how we procrastinated.
My son is in the same world as I.
The smartest people in this world procrastinate. You know why I do, though? Because I always worked better under pressure. So, like, if I waited and waited and waited and studied, like, last minute, then I was great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's definitely cramming the science fair.
Oh, the science
fair. No bigs. We're building wind turbines.
It's different with a project, though.
Yeah.
Because projects, like tests, it was better for me to wait till the last minute or to not study at all.
Yeah.
Because if I studied, a lot of times I would just confuse myself. Because I was a good listener in class, even though I was drawing all the time. And they were like, hey, you need to listen. And I was like, you just wait till the test.
Scientific research being done right now.
By you.
We're trying to find the most effective way to produce wind energy.
He's nailing it, though.
Like wind turbines.
He's over there, Dexter's labbing it.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome to watch him work in his little mind.
Hey, go back to the Olympic music.
Oh, okay, yeah, I can do that. Boom!
Because I just looked up a medal count. Right now, Germany in the lead with 5 gold medals.
Wow!
1 silver, 0 bronze. They said go big, go home.
Yeah, no kidding.
They have 6 total medals. Norway has 12 total medals, 4 gold, 3 silver, 5 bronze.
Okay.
Norway has the most bronze, followed closely by the United States, who we are in 6th overall, but we have 4 bronze medals, 1 silver, 2 gold. Canada, like we said a while ago, they have 4 gold, 3 silver, 2 bronze. They have 9 total
medals. We're in 6th place!
Yeah, so you got Germany, Norway, Canada, Netherlands, Switzerland, USA, and then Russia.
Wow.
We need to step it up.
Yeah, we do.
Come on, Olympics.
Sean White!
Man,
we needed you, bruh!
Those people, that's literally the best people in the world. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they are competing.
If you're not watching any of the Olympics, you're missing out.
You're missing it. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I don't know anything about most of the sports that are happening right now. Obviously, skiing and snowboarding, that's easy. But then it's like, oh, figure skating.
Figure skating.
Curling.
Curling? What is that now?
That's weird.
Is that pushing the thing down the ice?
Yeah, and then they're like sweeping the snow away or something.
I don't understand that game.
Got me.
I've never, ever seen kids playing that out in the yard. Ever. What are you kids doing? Oh, just some Olympic style curling. How old are you?
6.
Training.
Oh, man.
What state is this? Is this Michigan?
Yeah. Static.
Morning, guys. This is Matthew from Albuquerque.
Matthew
from Albuquerque calling early.
Are you watching the Olympics?
Oh, yes, of course I am. Hey, I love it. It's the best thing on right now.
Yeah? What's your favorite event?
Ooh, you know what? I probably have to say I think it's the snowboarding jump, whatever they call it.
Okay.
it's so much fun. I mean, it's like, really, if you can get, you know, just think that amazing. Yeah, I mean, if it's something cool to try, you have to think of the danger.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything has danger to it. Yeah.
Everything has danger to it.
Danger.
Exactly. You know, and hey, that reminds you guys of something I was going to say. Education, it's been called danger to education. It's when you fail something.
I don't get that.
Well, it's a danger to your education when you get an F, because an F actually will drag your grade down. And in high school, like where I am, if you fail a class, you have to pay $200 a class to get in summer school. Or
what?
You can take it next semester for half credit.
Dang, dude. It wasn't like that when I was a kid.
No,
if you failed,
kidding.
You just had to retake it. You didn't have to pay money.
Yeah, and I mean, nowadays, for instance, some of the families that can't afford it, there is an option to where in the next school year, the kid can take the class. If it's just like one semester, which is a half credit, they can use one of their electives to retake. Say they fail English 9 semester 1. They use that English 9 semester 1 for semester 1, and they retake it, and they make up that one half credit, and then they get their full credit for that.
Matthew, why do you know so much about this?
He knows a lot about everything.
I know guys about this because I have a cousin who is a senior student at Volcano. She, of course, has told me all this so I would be prepared and know what to expect.
That's good.
Yes. And how's Mr. Stever doing? I have not heard from him in a while.
He's fantastic. Getting birthdays ready. He's out in his cave.
Yep.
Just preparing
away. Oh, you guys should just call it the Stever Cave.
No.
That's really creative.
I'm not calling it that, Matthew, because I didn't come up with it.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, do you think you guys could do me a song request this morning, please?
No.
Yeah. Oh.
This morning, I want you guys to play a song by Hillsong. Young and sing by Hillsong, Young and Free. I want you guys to put this out to my cousin Brittany Griego, who's a senior at Volcano.
What?
Yeah. Congratulations, Brittany. You're almost done with school. I'm so proud of you that you're graduating. Congratulations.
We're proud, Brittany.
We are proud, Brittany. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
There you go. Matthew from Albuquerque, everybody.
There he is.
He's
not from anywhere else.
Wow. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Wednesday. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static!
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news. You ready?
Yep.
Michael Sam may soon be the first openly homosexual NFL player.
Yeah, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep. And a lot of controversy coming out of this.
Absolutely.
You know, people on both sides of the fence being like, yeah, it's fine, it's progressive. And then other people going, yeah, but
I got a shower with that guy.
It's going to be in my locker room, which I'm sure the dude's not going to be coming after you. But
at the
same time, like, I understand people being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of people have not been in that situation or knowingly been in that situation.
There you go.
You know.
It completely changes the landscape of the locker room. So it's been a huge topic on Sports Illustrated, on ESPN, this is a big deal.
We live in a different time, man.
You
turn the clock back 20 years ago, you would have never seen this.
Right. No,
it's crazy to me. But the like my grandparents, for them, the change has been like a technical revolution.
Right.
You think about when they were kids and then all the things we have now. I mean, we have... Like, I saw a Radio Shack ad from 1990-something. 1990-something. And it was, like, a computer and a camera and, like, all these little things, like a voice recorder and then a telephone. And then it was, like, fast forward to today, and it was just a picture of, an iPhone or a smartphone.
Right.
It was, like, all of those things in this one device, and this is a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But our I say that because I feel like, for me... My generation, the changes have been mostly psychological, economical, whatever.
Yeah.
It's been a big shift in moral values for me, whereas it was a big shift in technological stuff for my grandparents.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
But I guess it
the
was,
draft when it happens, what's going to.
Oh yeah,
he was saying. That the reason he came out now is because, you know, a lot of his teammates in college knew He was gay. And he just didn't want the story to break on ESPN or on, you know.
Oh, I see.
And so he felt like it was
He wanted to be the one to break it.
So, yeah. But apparently it wasn't as breaking news to the NFL as he thought it was going to be because a lot of the NFL scouts were like, yeah, no, we knew.
Oh.
So.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So we'll see. We'll see, man.
I see, though.
It's definitely a big deal.
I see what he did because you would, you know, again, 10 years ago, that would have completely derailed his career.
Right.
That would have been over. If somebody would have broke that story, it would have been like, oh, well, you're not getting drafted.
Yeah. People are still talking about Jason Collins. He's the first NBA player to come out and say, hey, openly gay NBA player.
But he was older, right?
He's at the tail end of his career, obviously, because since his announcement, he hasn't been picked up by a team. He's still a free agent. And the commissioner of the NBA said that it has nothing to do with his sexual orientation, but the fact that he came out at the tail end of his career and the skills just aren't there because they obviously had to do an investigation because guy comes out as homosexual and then does not get picked up by teams. And so there's big controversy. It's like, no, he's just old, man.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how the football thing plays out because that kid, like, he's super good.
SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah,
he's a big, scary dude.
He's good, though. And we'll see how his... We'll see if the talent outweighs the stigma.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
Interesting times.
It's going to be very interesting.
A Michigan woman fired a gun at a McDonald's drive-thru window after her order was botched.
Okay.
Because she wanted it her way. And she went to McDonald's. You should have gone to Burger King. Nope. Have you seen any Olympic curling? Have you? I haven't watched it.
It's really interesting.
I remember I've seen like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, again, too distracted by Bob Costas' eyes. I can't focus on anything else.
Yeah.
I sit there waiting with bated breath for the next time they're going to show them, and then, you know, it's all about the eyes for me.
I've been wearing my glasses for the last few days, and I think it's on purpose because it's just making me nervous.
It's like, am I going to get
I'm,
that?
I'm, like, shielding my
eyes. It's a nasty eye infection.
It is.
Nasty.
It's gross. Yeah.
It's more than pink eye, people.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, because that's what I thought it was at first. Like, he had pink eye? That's crazy. That's super contagious. You don't need to be there, Bob Costas. It's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because his poor eyes, man. Oh, I can't imagine. I bet he's in a lot of pain.
Poor dude.
New York state lawmakers want to ban the use of those microbeads in facial scrubs that help with exfoliation.
Really?
Experts say that the plastic beads are harmful to the ecosystem.
Okay.
I wonder how.
We've been using that soap in the guest bathroom, like in your bathroom.
Yeah.
That weird...
Oh yeah,
soap.
I don't.
Got beads.
I don't use that soap.
You don't.
That was
smells
in there.
Like cookies.
That was in there when I got back from Christmas. Yeah. I don't really know. I was kind of like.
I think somebody gave us that.
Yeah.
Like during Christmas.
That makes sense.
It was like a little Christmas gift of vanilla.
Vanilla Christmas.
It's all right.
A Colorado mom says that she saved a tiny puppy by breastfeeding it. Is this break? Did he hand you a breaking news?
Yeah.
Breaking news, for real.
This
just came, this is just in.
A Canadian coach was applauded Wednesday for showing the true spirit of the Olympics when he helped a Russian cross-country skier to finish after breaking a ski in a crash.
Wow.
Russia's Anton Gafarov was competing in the semifinals of the men's sprint on Tuesday when he fell on a high-speed hairpin bend that caused problems throughout the competition. His left ski badly damaged. He still tried to limp to the finish, but the ski disintegrated entirely. With him facing the prospect of skiing on one leg to the end, Canadian cross-country ski coach rushed to his aid and gave him a ski, which he used to ski to the finish several minutes behind the leaders.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See? Olympic spirit.
Yeah.
Let it
fly. Canadian coach ran to the aid of a Russian. I'd like to
Canada
buy
is
the world.
What? You'd like to buy the world a what?
We know.
No, it's finish the, it.
And I don't know the rest of the words.
I'd like to buy the world a go. And is it a song? Maybe you'd like to buy him a ski. I'd like to buy the world a ski when they get to the finish line.
But that's what I say for all
Cokes. Across.
Or all sodas or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
What do you say?
It's not. I say Coke too. Grew
up
saying Coke.
Yeah, Coke.
Be like, I want a Coke. What kind? Mountain Dew.
Right. Right. And now it's like, I want to
Coke. Which is kind of dumb.
Like, okay. It's... Diet or... No, no, not really, like a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. That's no, a Coke. Why'd you bring me Coke? I said Dr. Pepper. No, you said Coke. Where are you from? How do you not understand this? It's funny if you think about it, because it's adding an extra step.
Yeah.
You know, or you're relying on your friend to deduce what you like, which is, that never ends well.
This is going to be a movie someday.
They come back with a bowl of cereal.
Right?
You're like, what? Did you hear what I said before we got our breaking news?
I apologize.
A Colorado mom says that she saved a tiny puppy by breastfeeding it.
Okay.
We're getting a little too involved with our animals, y'all. A New York-based animal rights group, speaking of animals, wants to ban any circus that plays in New York from using animals.
Okay. Are they going to use humans?
I think we should ban the sky from using clouds.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm offended.
They're obnoxious.
I am offended at the sky for always using the clouds for its own selfish purposes and making the sunset beautiful or whatever, and then the clouds get used for rain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
It's
fair to
degrading
clouds.
To yeah. clouds. There are many different kinds of clouds. You have cumulonimbus, cumulostratus, you have cirrus. You have there's so many. You have just stratus. That's usually where the rain comes out.
Yeah.
It's just offensive to me.
Yeah.
How we just categorize, we generalize it all. It's like, oh, that's a cloud. That's a cloud, you know? But we don't think about the cloud's rights. We don't think about how that cloud formed. It took, you know, the whole water cycle to get that cloud there. We don't think about that. And then, it not only is it just a cloud, it's a special kind of cloud. This cloud does different things. This cloud is at a different level in the atmosphere than, like say you have a cumulonimbus cloud with an anvil on top and that's producing a thunderstorm. That's completely different than a cirrus cloud, which is so high up in the atmosphere and looks like a feather.
Right.
You know, clouds have rights too. And so, I think we should take a cue from this New York-based animal rights group and say, hey, no more clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a sunset or a sunrise, you get the clouds out of here. You quit using them as a crutch.
Yeah.
Let's see how it really looks. Huh? Clouds have rights. Cloud rights. I'm starting a group. It'll be on Facebook soon. The U.S. and France have reached an agreement to work on a new Mars rover program together. U.S. and France.
Okay.
Teaming up.
Yeah.
First time since the Statue of Liberty. Booyah! What's gonna happen? A new poll shows that the majority of Americans favor easing the restrictions on Cuba. They want their cigars.
Yeah, wow.
Give us them cigars, we say. Well, I want to go hang out on the beach in Cuba.
See, never mind. That's a huge debate.
Huge proponent for this was Cuba Gooding Jr., who is Cuba's spokesperson.
Show me the money!
I'm gonna get beat up. David Cassidy's wife has filed for divorce.
Oh.
Why is this news? That is his life. Hey, we talked about Subway.
Yeah.
Getting rid of that chemical that is for your shoe soles and yoga mats.
Yoga mats.
Well, check this
out.
What
together.
We didn't know.
Oh, no.
Subway said they've been using azodicarbonamide. Nope. I'm going to say it right. Azodicarbonamide. Carbonamide. As a dough conditioner in its U.S. products. Subway's been using it. But that chain recently said they're going to stop. Well, my friends, we've recently learned that other fast food chains, such as McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, and Arby's, have been using the chemical in their bread products as well. But they aren't backing down. Wendy said, no, I'm a redheaded ginger, and I'll do what I want.
Wow.
Burger King said in a statement, food-grade azo blah 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 is a common ingredient used for whitening and improving the texture of dough. It is approved as safe by the FDA. Substance is found in many restaurant and grocery store baked goods and is used in the baking process of several of our BK restaurant bread products. All of our products comply with federal, state, and local food safety standards and regulations. McDonald's says on its website, variation of the azo blah 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 has commercial uses and is used in the production of some foamed plastics like exercise mats. But this shouldn't be confused with the food grade variation of this ingredient.
Nope.
That's stupid.
When that story broke, I'm not joking. I have not had any fast food since then. It has made me like, ugh.
I'm let down by this. Actually, you know what? Celeste brought in something from somewhere and I had a little bit of the meat, not the bread. But this is the problem here, because we're making so much money off of this, But people, now they say it's safe for you, right? Totally safe. This chemical that is used in making yoga mats.
Well,
that's fine.
We've been eating it this whole time.
Exactly. And the more and more and more you eat of something little, it piles up.
Yeah.
And then later in your life, you're sick.
Because you can't figure out why. Inside you.
You've been eating rubber.
You built
this whole
a whole
time.
Shoe.
If you're gonna do it, just eat a shoe.
Yeah.
Just eat the shoe every day.
Yeah.
You'll get there faster. Is what I'm saying. You can cut some corners.
I'm weird about feet. And yeah. So now all I can picture with any of these doughs are feet stepping on them because
hey,
it's like
feet.
Shoe soles
yep.
And yoga mats.
Oh my gosh, there is a crate. I'm not reading that. That's stupid. There's a rumor about our president having an affair, and it sounds stupid. I'm
well,
not
of
even
course
gonna,
it is.
That's crazy. I'm not even going to say it. Oh, wow. Okay, we have a laser at home.
Yes,
this is
going
to be the last story because it's almost time for birthdays, and we have a good one today. We have a laser to play with Panda.
Yeah.
And she goes crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy for that
nuts.
Laser. She goes crazy, laser, lazy, crazer. She loves it.
Yeah.
Well, the Federal Bureau of Investigation wants to slap more handcuffs on people who aim laser pointers at airplanes.
No way!
Beaming a handheld laser has been a federal crime since 2012. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
But on Tuesday, the FBI announced a program that will reward individuals with $10,000 who provide information leading to the arrest of anyone who has targeted an airplane with a laser pointer.
Wow.
10 G's, my friends. Hey, listen. How attached are you to Jack? Because he loves that laser.
He does love that
and
laser.
And I'm pretty sure I could just kind of casually say, that's weird. There's an airplane going over outside.
Man.
I wonder if this laser pointer could get to it. I don't know. I'm just going to sit here and watch TV.
Do they really reach that far?
I guess so. The program will last for 60 days in 12 regional offices ranging from New York to Albuquerque. We're mentioned! We made it! The FBI says more people are using lasers to mess with airplanes now more than ever before. Taking aim from anywhere, from airports to their own homes. According to the report, it happened 3,960 times in 2013, an average of 11 times per day. In 2005, when the FAA first started tracking laser strikes, only 283 incidents were reported. Though no plane crash has been linked to a laser pointer, pilots have reported that lights can temporarily blind or distract them while they're trying to fly. Interesting.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. So, guys, if I see you doing that, I'm getting $10,000. I don't care how close we are.
Yep.
You're getting
real.
Reported. I'm sorry.
Yep. Gonna happen.
There's a price on friendship, and for me, it's $10,000. Anyway, that's your breaking news. You know what it's time for.
Yep, it is 6:45, which means time for birthdays.
Morning.
Morning, Steve. Don't point laser pointers at airplanes.
Dang it.
Yeah, I found that out.
I was going to try to trap him.
Oh.
I would have split the money with you. I would have got 90% and you would have got 10.
Hey, today's 43rd day, 2014, 322 days remaining. Now watch, Matt, how we do this first one, okay?
No.
Steve-O,
yeah.
Make a fist with your right hand. Okay?
Yep.
Point it at your right ear. Okay?
Yeah.
Now make circles around your ear while barking like a big dog.
Arsenio Hall.
Arsenio Hall.
Oh, my God.
Celebrating a birthday today.
Well done.
How'd you like that?
I remember that.
That was impressive,
brilliant,
my friend.
Sir. Brilliant.
Arsenio's got a new show.
Yeah, he does.
The funny thing is he's old school, but he's the best, like, well, looking dude.
You know, he was a couple years ago, he was on Trump's show, Prentice.
Oh, okay.
And actually did really well.
There you go.
Did good. Did goodly.
I only saw one episode of the Arsenio Hall show now, and it made me so sad I couldn't do it.
Oh.
He was talking about Whitney, and he, like, stopped his interview and just broke down and was crying.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, that hurts.
Well, he's celebrating today. It's his birthday.
Yeah, birthday. He is 53. How old is he?
Ooh, 51.
You know, the only movie I can think of was Coming to America.
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh.
He's 58.
Oh,
wow. That boy can sing.
That boy can sing.
Yeah. Hey, not going to lie, I was a fan of the music that came out of this Coen Brothers movie.
It was, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No.
It is, okay. The remake that just came out. True Grit.
Yep.
Boom.
So for Men in Black 3, No Country for Old Men, and True Grit.
James Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
James's kid.
They wanted
him for Batman and Batman Superman, but he turned it down.
I'm kind of glad.
He would have been gruffy.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin celebrating a birthday.
Okay, Josh Brolin.
Or a birthday.
Let's think about it. I say he is 42.
45.
46.
Oh, you were right there. You were right
the
there.
The girl from True Grit was in a movie we just saw, Ender's Game.
Okay, Steve-O, yep. On a short list of greatest baseball announcers.
Vin Scully.
No. Harry Carey.
No.
Oh.
Harry Carey is gone.
Joe Buck.
No.
Short list of greatest baseball announcers. I'm sorry, Vin
that
Scully.
That kid from The Sandlot.
No. There's Vin Scully, and then there's everybody else. Is it Chip Carey?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Joe Garagiola celebrating a birthday today.
Oh, okay.
Sportscaster, right. Former baseball player. Joe Garagiola. Come on. You know Joe.
Yeah, you know.
How old is Joe Garagiola?
52.
60.
Now, you don't know who this is, Steve-O.
I have no idea.
61.
We'll have to bring him up later. You'll go, oh, yeah. 88.
Wow. I really don't know who he is.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. From Pan Am and the Addams Family movies.
The movies?
Yeah, the movies.
Pan Am. That was a very short-lived series.
Yeah.
Is it Christina Ricci?
It is Christina Ricci.
You should have said Speed Racer.
She was in Casper,
never
bro.
Saw Speed Racer.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay, Steven.
No, it's better than okay. It's one of my favorite movies.
All right.
You didn't miss anything.
It is one of the raddest family movies in the universe, and it's seriously one of my favorite
Along with
movies.
Adam's Family, right? Adam's Family Values. Yeah.
Yes.
And Christopher Lloyd, you know, was in those movies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Uncle Fester.
Yeah. How old is Christina?
Oh, man.
I think she's 36.
34.
34.
You got it.
You got one.
Christina Ricci. I'm
trying to make up for yesterday when
she
Matt just
Trixie,
slammed
man.
It.
I got three
she
yesterday.
She was Trixie. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Sports.
ESPN.
Hall of Fame basketball player.
Bob Costas.
Alonzo Mourning.
Bill Russell.
Alonzo Mourning's not in the Hall of Fame.
Bill Russell?
I remember Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah.
Did he play for the Hornets?
Yeah,
did Bill Russell end up being like a politician?
I don't think so.
No, it's maybe someone else.
I wish it would have been Manute
Bill Russell.
Bo.
Bill Russell celebrating a birthday.
69.
58.
80.
He's 80?
Got some oldies today.
Yo, he's so old.
Ooh.
Author Judy Blume celebrating her birthday. She wrote, of course, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Tales of the of a Fourth Grade Nothing.
Super Fudge.
Did she write Ramona?
Blubber. Freckle Juice.
Freckle Juice, that's what I was thinking of.
And It's Not the End of the World. All books written by Judy Blume.
Judy Blume.
Paperback writer.
Writer. Okay.
The Beatles made the music of our lives.
They did.
Yeah.
Did you watch that thing yet?
Did not.
Oh, come on,
dude,
man.
Come on.
Okay.
All right.
Judy Blume. 68.
Oh, 65.
Judy Blume turned 76 today.
Oh, wow.
Did you guys read any Judy Blume?
If she wrote the Ramona books, then yes, I read them.
I thought she was more like for the like young ladies.
She didn't do Super Fudge?
Maybe. I think she did. I don't know. Not a fan, only because I'd never read her books. So,
how could you do
so
this,
that.
Steve-er?
What?
She did write Super Fudge.
She wrote Super Fudge.
Okay, yeah. So character actor. You guys will know when you think about it who this is, okay? He was
Tom
in Total
Skerritt.
No. He was in Total Recall as the Heavy. He was also Flight Instructor Jester in Top Gun.
Oh, man. He was also the principal in Back to the Future, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, okay. The bald guy?
So no.
Mr. Strickland?
Yeah. No, he was Jester, the guy that they flew after at Top Gun school. They tried to catch him, and he went down on the deck. Michael Ironside celebrating a birthday today.
Oh, Michael Ironside. Yes, sorry.
Nice.
Tough guy. Tough jaw.
Yeah, what was he just in? We just saw him in something.
I don't know.
Always plays a heavy.
I'm still trying to think of what we just saw him in. He is 59 years old.
Okay, I'd say he's 56.
He's 64.
Nah.
My bad.
All right. Now, this is Hold Steve-O Down. It's one of his favorite shows from the from the 80s.
Wait, this is one of my favorite shows.
Joanna Kearns.
Thanks, she's the mom.
The mom celebrating her birthday today. Played the mom opposite of Alan Thicke. How old do you think she is now?
She is. We gotta be the luckiest dreamers who never quit.
Your mom is so happy that this was a favorite of yours.
Dude, this show. Oh,
anything that comes our way,
rain or shine, all the time. We got each other.
Now, of course, some of the staff sharing Jesus with the rest of the world.
Yeah. She is...
Joanna Kearns.
59.
She is 63.
61.
Ah! Yeah, we were so close!
You were. You guys were kind of right in there.
We averaged it out. If we had averaged it out, we would have both been right.
Okay, so this guy was actually in Cool Hand Luke. When I looked him up, I go, oh, I know this guy. It's a character actor you'll recognize as well. In Tomorrow Never Dies, The Living Daylights, and GoldenEye, he played CIA agent Jack Wade.
Oh, wow.
His name is Jodon Baker.
Jodon.
Jodon Baker.
I don't know.
Ba-ba-da.
58.
62.
78.
Okay.
Ah. Yeah, one more birthday.
Birthday.
One more. I picked some good ones for this one, too. Ready?
Yep.
Is it Michael McDonald's birthday?
It is Michael McDonald's birthday!
Yes!
He had some great music.
American classic.
Yeah, Mr. Musty Voice. Mac Powell said, I'm going to sing like that.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, dude.
It's so funny on the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin that Michael McDonald keeps playing in the background and Paul Rudd goes crazy. He's like, if you play that Michael McDonald video one more time, I'm going to kill you.
Now, my understanding is that Michael McDonald is a believer in Jesus.
That's awesome, all right, man.
Yeah.
Michael McDonald.
He made a great Christmas album a few years ago. Be a great concert.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, not only with the Doobie Brothers, spent some time with Steely Dan.
Man.
So.
Michael McDonald.
What a career.
Okay. How old is this man? 66.
63.
62.
Ah!
Happy birthday, Michael McDonald.
Dude, this would be a great Flashback Friday.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah, dude.
That's going to happen. Don't do it this Friday because I'm not here and I want to be here for this. Okay,
okay, got it. Got to hear a little more, Michael. Here we
go.
Yeah,
we do.
Ready? All right.
Yeah. Dude, Brandon Foreman, a listener on Facebook, just said today's his birthday.
Yeah,
I love Brandon Foreman. Brandon, I love you, buddy.
He loves you.
Today's his birthday.
Somebody said their daughter.
You know Brandon, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Birthday request.
Brandon is living elsewhere. He moved out of state. I forget where he moved
today
to.
Today is the 12th, right?
Today is the 12th.
We want to wish Marley and Lucy Case, they're both 2 years old, happy birthday.
And Brandon, I'll make sure Jordan calls you today. That's one of Jordan's buddies.
There's so many great birthdays today.
There are a few birthdays.
All right. We are to dates.
All right.
These guys lost last week on the basketball court. Michigan State University on this date was established. What year was it?
The Spartans.
I don't know.
Oh, back in good old 1891.
Yeah.
1902.
1855.
Oh,
gosh.
All right, here we go. We've got a few of them with this music, so... On this date in what year former President Abraham Lincoln's birthday was declared a national holiday in the United States?
Today's Lincoln's birthday?
I don't know. 1957.
On this day in 1892.
All right, so on this date in history, in Washington, D.C., the first stone of the Lincoln Memorial was put into place.
Oh, wow.
What do you think that was?
Lincoln Memorial.
1920.
1960? 1914. And on this date in history, Calvin Coolidge became the first president of the United States to deliver a political speech on radio.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
he was radio!
He was a DJ before you guys.
Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah, I don't know when he was president.
1912.
So. 1917. 1924.
All righty.
So?
On this date, in what year, at New York City's Madison Square Garden, the first artificial ice rink in North America opened?
Wow. Hold on. All right, stop. No. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with the brand new
edition.
Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Blow like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop?
No.
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a light like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Dance. All right.
Okay, sorry.
Sometimes like in my life...
Ice rink, Madison Square Garden. I didn't mean to distract you. Anything
less than the best. How did you not think about it? It's obvious that this will happen.
I'll solve it. What year? Indoor ice rink.
Anytime I get a blank spot in my head, sometimes it just goes, dance. And I start dancing.
Yeah.
1923.
1904.
1879. 1879. All right, so today.
Get out of here.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Today. Paul Bunyan Day.
Oh! Hey.
He was born February 12th, 1834 in Bangor, Maine.
I'm offended.
That's why I brought my axe.
When is Babe the Blue Ox's birthday?
I don't know.
Okay.
No one cares about the
offensive.
Ox.
It's Bring Your Axe to Work Day, guys.
Today is Plum Pudding Day.
Gross.
And last but not least, it's PB&J Day.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
That is
only
all.
Redeemed the
Pam
day.
Beasley and Jim. The Office.
Oh, so great. It is Wednesday. We got a great show for you today. Of course, Max from Astro Zombie is going to be joining us for Comics Corner.
Yes!
Shock Therapy Live coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
We think.
With our friend Nate Heitzig. It's going to happen, buddy. One way or another.
One way or another.
Quick break. Right back with this year's show.
Woo!
It's called Team Awesome Morning Party.
And it's happening right now.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. And your hump day drive.
Woo!
To work, to school, wherever you're going. Speaking of driving around, we want to help make it safe.
Yes, we
for
do.
You.
We absolutely do.
On your way to work this morning and being there at 7:15, that means it's time to take a look at traffic.
Careful traffic.
It's still loading.
Still loading.
Oh, Solomon's Porch.
We love you, Sopo.
Ruining our traffic report with Matt's oatmeal.
No, there it is. It loaded. It loaded.
Good job, you.
Guys, we have construction, I-25 in Paseo. You know about it if you live here in Albuquerque. If you don't live here, then I'm not giving you traffic, okay? I can't look up the big cities across the nation and say, oh, here's Chicago on 4th Street. There's something going on. They're filming a movie. I can't say all that stuff. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm just clairvoyant and I know. But I'm still not going to utilize my powers to help you because I'm selfish. Anyway, we have construction at I-25 in Paseo. It looks like this Alameda, there's slow going there. I don't know what's going on. It could just be morning traffic, but it's down to like 10 miles an hour.
Wow.
So be careful. And everything else looks pretty good. That's your traffic report this morning.
Traffic, of course, brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. rocking some oatmeal.
Oatmeal.
Maybe you're interested in a breakfast burrito.
Breakfast burrito.
I also provide coffees. Many different things. So
tons of stuff.
Get you going on your way to work or school. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Now,
I'm on the radio.
You know, it seems like a trend lately to spice up church.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
You gotta spice it up.
Church is old and stale.
Let's get some laser lights. Let's get some fog machines.
Look at the crackers. They're obviously old and stale.
Let's get some relevant video screens with big flashy, I don't know, whatever
it takes.
Let's
do a kegger in the foyer. Oh, am I right?
There are many different ways churches have been trying to, you know, spice things up. To quote unquote make it relevant?
Trying to.
Skip was talking about that very thing and how the Word of God is relevant. You know, you don't have to spice it up. It's the Word of God, man. Well, apparently Pastor Alan Parker did not get the memo on that.
He should have. I sent it to him.
He decided to do something a little different with his church service. And
tell me about the differences you mean.
Well, if you're bored with regular church service and feel like your relationship with the Lord could use a little more middle-aged naked people.
If you feel like your relationship with the Lord needs to be a little bit more bare.
Yes.
And I'm not talking furry animal.
A church in Virginia has decided to encourage something called nude prayer. No, I'm not making this up. Pastor Alan Parker allows
a real thing.
Nude worship. At the ironically named White Tail Chapel.
Done. Never, nope. not talking about a deer.
In Ivor, Virginia.
Tons of good stuff's come out of Virginia, and this being the best thing ever.
He decided that your clothing requirements, your dress.
Yeah.
Requirements at other churches seem pretentious.
Totally,
you gotta wear a suit. I know a lot of people feel like they're being looked down upon when they walk into church because of the way they dress. Maybe they got tattoos. Maybe. Oh man, I just saw that photo. Gosh, I'm thrown off.
Good grief. Guys, this is a horrible idea. This is why it's a horrible idea. There are 5 million youth group boys that just heard this and are like, where is it?
Yeah.
Where?
Ivor, Virginia at Whitetail Church.
This is a bad idea.
This was the quote from the pastor. When Jesus was born, he was naked. When he was crucified, he was naked. And when he arose and left his clothes in the tomb, he was naked. Mm. If God made us that way, how can that be wrong?
See, that's what I'm talking about. You gotta read between the lines when it comes to the Bible. You totally do.
If God made us that way, how can that be wrong? Weren't we born into sin?
So I'll tell you how it's wrong, friend. This is how it's wrong.
Quote,
when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, they got embarrassed, and they covered themselves. And then the Lord stepped in and provided coverings for them because he was like, yeah, you're embarrassed, and I get it. You weren't supposed to be.
Right.
But you are because of your fallen state.
Right.
And from now, until forever, humanity, you're going to be a little embarrassed when you're naked.
Well, and that's the thing. This pastor says that when you're naked, you're vulnerable. Quote, bearing your soul to Christ and leading the flock down the path of righteousness, no matter what they're wearing. That's his goal. That's his job.
I really want to post a link to this, but all of the links have NSFW, which means not safe for work.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the religion page on Huffington Post.
Yeah.
And I can't put the link because it's like not safe for work.
Not safe for work.
Which would mean if I posted this and you're listening and your boss walked by and you were looking at this link, you'd probably get like in trouble.
You got the blurred lines on it.
And
on
all
some,
the blurred lines.
Yeah, all over these photos.
Why didn't we play that song for the background of this segment?
Here's the thing. This pastor also said, quote, there's not a feeling that you have to be better than one another physically. We're humans. We have scars. We have
what we have.
Right. It's learning to love and accept that.
Well, looking at these people, I understand what he's saying. But I will say this. If he thinks pretentiousness is just with clothing, then he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Pretentiousness is in your heart.
Yeah.
So eventually everybody's going to be like, oh man, that dude's bod looks better than mine. crap, now I gotta start working out to come to church. And then it's gonna turn into, yeah, I just really want my temple to be adorned with the finest muscles I can make.
Yeah, here, I guess there are several regular congregants at the church, including Katie and Robert Church, who said, quote, there are people that have great means, great wealth.
All right, this is, I found a good one. Okay. All it's got is a picture of the building.
There you go.
Which itself is pretty naked.
Man. People that have great means, great wealth, there's people that don't. But you wouldn't know, and everybody treats everybody, you know, equally, end quote. So, phone lines are open. 505-338-3700 if you would like to chime in on your thoughts. Nude worship. Because Jesus was born naked. This is real, Pastor Alan Parker. And it's allowed. Not everybody in the church goes nude. In the photos, it's like 50-50 people nude. Thankfully, these photos, at least like the hymnal, is covering areas. Gosh, I couldn't do it.
That was not what the Baptist hymnal was intended for. It was not meant to be used as a covering for body parts. It was meant to house wonderful hymns that connect you with the Lord, not to cover up your booty.
Yeah.
Man. Or your hiney.
They're
for the younger listeners.
Strategically placed for the ladies. So these are more hymnals.
Okay. How'd you do that? I just want to know the mental process behind that. I want to know where it started and how it got there.
That's static.
Morning, guys. It's Mark the Bus Rider.
Hey,
bus
Mark.
Bus Rider Mark.
You want to go to church naked?
I don't. Actually, I was just listening to you guys about that, and that would be so distracting. Like, even if I wasn't naked, there were other naked people around me. That would be, because that seems counterproductive. It's like if you're trying to say, let's do this thing that apparently is going to bring us closer to God, I guarantee that that's distracting to a lot of people.
Absolutely. And as I said, not everybody in the congregation is nude, so it's like 50-50. The pastor is definitely nude in this photo. But,
rocking, man. He's just rocking it.
Yeah. I don't think I could attend this church.
Yeah, there are so many jokes to be made, but all of them so inappropriate.
No, think about this, though. Every mission trip,
Amen.
You could just go streaking by the quad. That's what, okay, wait, maybe this is great. Handing out tracks would just be streaking. This is awesome, Bus Rider Mark. What are we doing?
I don't even know.
Let's take that bus to Virginia and do this.
Oh, man, crazy.
What? Pass.
What is pass? I don't have a bus pass.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Static.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Hi. Okay, so I was listening, and I'm just so like, what? Really?
Yeah. This is real.
And so, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, adultery. I mean, like, I've heard so many other people say, you know, when you're married, it's just, like, the thought that you think, you know, I mean, how far is that going to go with all these married couples?
That's a very, very good statement right there. Because, yeah, Jesus in Matthew 5:28 said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery.
Very true.
And so they are.
And then, I mean, what is that teaching, you know, children in the church? I mean, is pornography okay? I mean, you know, what is that teaching all of the kids? I mean, what? And then, you know, I'm just so shocked. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Another thing was, I mean, like, you know, the Bible has been translated so many different times, and Jesus being born naked is probably, Jesus was born without sin. He was born clean.
Right.
He was born God's son, you know?
Yeah, because
that's probably what it means, not born naked, literally.
If they're already misinterpreting some scriptures, what do you think they're going to do with if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek?
Oh, snap!
Well, I mean, if we were to all, I mean, literally walk around and just slapping a bunch of people, I mean, I think that would be
sexual harassment.
I think to me what that means is, you know, just people do what they do, and you know, and God gave us free will to be able to
make logical decisions.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
All right. I did disagree with her on one point.
Huh?
I do think Jesus was born naked.
Well, right,
because he was a baby. I think that was probably a literal.
Scary.
Hello.
It is scary.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Honey from Gallup.
Hey, Honey from Gallup.
How are you?
Hi. So, I'm wondering, what is going on with Virginia then? Isn't there something else going on with Virginia where there's like snake holders?
Well, that's like Eastern Tennessee and Kentucky. That's my church.
That's your church?
Yeah.
No, it is not. Shut up.
I'm kidding.
He's just kidding. However, this is for real. Whitetail Chapel in Ivor, Virginia. Pastor Alan Parker says that we shouldn't be ashamed that clothing is pretentious and can divide us, but if we lay it all bare and we're vulnerable before Christ, then we're all kind of level. Mm. We're all equal. I don't know.
I think there may be some kind of mental illness going on there.
Yeah.
But no, I was just wondering about this because I'm thinking that these people are there just naked handling snakes. So I don't know what was going on. I just know that some stuff that goes on in Virginia. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
there you go. Virginia.
I get you.
We just
kind of
have to go.
Them.
Virginia.
Virginia. Surprise it's not Florida.
Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Honey.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
This is just... So here's what I want to say.
Yeah.
If you're somebody and you're looking to make a little money,
mm-hmm.
you just go to this church, hang out for a few weeks, and then you file a sexual harassment suit. Because it's going to happen.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing, man.
And then you get money.
We posted this story on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. It's very real.
Yeah.
It's a real church.
And I found an article that
it's
didn't
real?
Have a bunch of nudity.
Oh, yeah.
This is real
life.
This
is absolutely real.
This is the 90s, bro.
Yeah.
So, you two are married.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten in trouble walking around the mall with your wife and you accidentally looked?
Have we?
Imagine if you're around naked people.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been walking around the mall with my wife and gotten in trouble.
I've never been to the mall.
The mall. I'm not a mall guy.
Just kidding. I've been to the mall.
I know what
but,
you're saying.
Yeah, we know what you're saying. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's going to be impossible.
I would just have to sit in the front row. Yeah. I would sit in the front row.
I'm only human.
But then I'm causing a bunch of other people
in the
to
front
stumble.
Row.
What?
Yeah.
And we all have our clothes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to take your clothes off to
Anyways,
go to church.
One of these days, I'm probably going to be taking steps.
Yeah.
I would hate to think if they, like, I don't know, are they going to be passing out? Oh, wow.
Blankets, man.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
blankets.
Blankets.
I don't know.
What about when
nude
it's
worship.
Just real cold outside? They're gonna spend millions
well, this is
in space
Virginia,
heaters.
And it's the middle of winter, and they say despite the chilly winter weather, there were several congregants at the church this last week who were in the buff.
Here's why. Because
so
nudity is freedom, which is warmth.
What?
Yeah. Freedom is a warm feeling.
No.
Well, at least we know who we should be praying for.
Amen.
Yeah, there you go.
Me.
Thanks for calling,
man. That's about it.
There you go.
Thanks,
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. Static!
Yeah, how's it going?
Good, man.
You know.
So, on this naked church thing,
yeah,
I gotta wonder, the part where the pastor asks you to get up, shake everybody's hand, give them a hug,
yeah,
how much more awkward that would be?
A little bit different, definitely.
It would look a little different, that's for sure. You're right. All right, hey, why don't you go say hi to somebody you've never talked to before. Go shake their hand. Welcome them.
I would just
here.
Look at the pastor and say, absolutely not. I would stand here. I'm doing this on a bet, buddy.
Victoria's Secret outside instead of a latte shop or
man.
Something. I mean,
oh,
see,
man.
It's weird, right?
It
is weird.
Yeah,
it's just, this is strange. Like, you hear about people taking certain things out of the Bible into it, like the whole snake handling thing, you know,
right.
And it's like, oh, man, that's just super literal. I don't know why these people are doing it. That's just not common sense. This is like next level.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Thanks,
man.
Our buddy Bawat Dabah emailed from Austria.
Okay.
He says, every time we put our clothes on, it's a reminder of our sin, of our fallen state. Clothing was chosen as that reminder when God provided clothes to Adam and Eve in the garden. Related to that was the first visual depiction of salvation. In order to provide those clothes, an animal had to die in order for the skin to be provided for God to form the clothing for Adam and Eve. The first sacrifice to cover our sin, a foreshadow of the ultimate sacrifice of the Christ. Which
good job,
I agree with that.
I agree. Yeah, well, that you made that comment earlier about that, the fact that they were ashamed. They were naked.
Yeah.
They realized they were naked when they ate the apple, they fell, or the fruit, and they fell, and all of a sudden, boom, oh man, I'm naked, I should put some clothes on. Mm-hmm. And so, man, this logic is crazy. Static!
Hey, what up?
What Nothing. Up?
So I have to agree with you on a couple points. One is the fact that the point of clothing that God gave to us to show us our need for a covering. You know, it's like a typology of Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing that I'd have to say is, not to be crude, but he says it's to show that we're all equal. You know, eventually someone's going to look around and start taking measurements and start realizing, hey, either I don't measure up or I am incredibly blessed.
Sir,
at that moment...
You, sir, are out of line! I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
At that moment, all equality is going to go out the window.
Well, yeah, that's what we're
right.
saying, too.
Exactly.
Like, pretentiousness
exactly.
is something that is... It's from the heart. It's not your clothing. Yeah. You can't... It's just like anything. It's like you're curing symptoms. You're not curing the disease. You know, so we can do all these things and, like, not wear clothes.
It could
and
be
it's
a
still...
very humbling experience.
He's right.
Thanks for the call. Oh, man.
This
Static.
Is stupid.
Hey, morning.
Morning.
Well, you know, sometimes, like, we say to our kids or people say to each other, you know, if you have, like, problems with self-esteem, you can imagine somebody, they have to pull down their pants at the same, and they do it the same way you do, and that type of thing. Well, as a baby, Jesus was born able to defecate. But I don't want to see everybody around me defecating, too. And
Wait, because... it's not poop, church.
So that's it. We're all equal that way, but you don't have to prove it to me.
Amen.
That makes sense. There you go. Thanks
Amen.
For the call.
So I guess we can't open the poop church. That's not going to work out. She's right.
If you're just joining us, Pastor Alan Parker at Whitetail Chapel
this
in
is nuts,
Iowa, Virginia.
Man. This is nuts.
Yeah. Has decided to allow nude worship. This is crazy. There's photos, and it's all over... We posted the family friendliest.
Yes, we found
one
a
that we
safe
could.
For work article. The only picture is of the building, and I will warn you, the building does not have clothes on. But it is a building, and most buildings do not wear clothes.
There you go. So yeah, they say at other churches, there's pretentious people. They point to the fact that
guy's stupid.
Jesus, he was born naked. When he was crucified, he was naked, and when he arose, he left his clothes in the tomb, and he was naked. If God made us that way, how can that be wrong? End quote. That's a scary quote. If God made us that way, how can that be wrong? Because nowadays, that's what everyone is using for every excuse. Well, I was born this way.
Yeah. My friend Jeremiah says, what's next? Temple prostitutes, and that's how you make your offering?
Oh, man. See?
Good point.
I'm telling you. Static!
Okay, I have a question. Would they allow cell phones, and do they do the full service with the greeters and also praise and worship? Sunday school, youth group, is that the whole thing?
I don't know.
We're not sure.
We don't have that much information on it. You could look it up if you'd like. Whitetail Chapel in Ivor, Virginia. They say it's nude worship, being vulnerable, bearing your soul to Christ, and man, gosh.
I'm so, like with Mateo. Hey, I am not turning around and shaking people's hands. I'm sorry.
Right. I think looking at this article, it feels like it's specifically for the worship. Like, you don't show up to church nude. You got your clothes on, and then, all right, hey, everybody, good morning, welcome, da, da, da. All right, if you would like to take your clothes off now, we're going to begin worship, and then maybe at the end of worship, because everybody's got clothes, like, folded next to their seat, so.
Man, can't you just, like, you hear the pastor just going, looking good, Fred, looking good. All right, anyway, we're going to be studying from the book of Matthew today. Open your Bibles.
We'll give you guys a few minutes to put your clothes back on before we dig into the Word of God this morning. Yeah.
Okay, I wonder about the windows then.
They got windows. I'm looking at them.
Thanks for
okay,
the call.
Guys, good
All
day,
right, you too.
I will say this, though. Man. You got a high chance of getting a tick at this church. The building is situated directly beside the woods, and we are in Virginia. So I'm going to go ahead and warn you. You're going to get ticks. It's going to be rough.
Static.
But you'll be able to see them. So that's fine.
Hey,
that'll help out.
It's
hey.
Hey.
Wait, it's who?
Huh?
This is who?
Mrs. Bear, Stephanie.
Oh, okay. That's the first time I've ever heard you introduce yourself as Mrs. Bear.
Yeah, I'm like, is this Stephanie's mom? Who is this?
Nah. So I think that my husband and I have found our new church.
There you
oh,
go.
Oh, man.
It was nice knowing you guys. Good luck in Virginia. Watch out for ticks.
No, like, that's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
thing to do that at your home with the windows barred and stuff like that, but to have...
Matt and I live together. There's no way that's ever happening in the comfort of my own home.
No.
Ever.
It's not. It can't happen.
Ever. Why not?
No. Stephanie, what? Mrs. Bear, you control yourself now.
Wow.
But no, I mean...
Yeah,
at least
yeah.
It's on a nudist colony, so it's
no,
not
that's,
like...
No, that's basically what it is. It's just a, it's like a church nudist colony.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I don't understand. Like, there's no reason for this to exist.
No.
There's not,
I actually
like,
know
one reason.
A guy who I think would love that church.
You really?
Should not tell him
yeah.
about it. Just don't even bring it into his life.
Yeah.
I totally dodged the bullet on that one.
You're
yeah.
telling me you have already gotten in touch with him. You have already emailed him.
No, hey, I haven't actually.
Christmas coming!
I almost dated.
Oh.
Okay.
So that is way in the past.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Oh.
There you go.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
You guys have a great day.
You
enjoy
too.
The conversation.
Oh, we really are.
We will. Wow. Static!
Hey, so just what, you know, talk about this church thing and all.
Yeah.
Just one thing I was wondering about, you know, Mateo was saying, you know, what's that for the kids, but are kids even allowed in the service?
I don't know.
I would doubt it, man. I don't know how not. That would be legal.
I don't think that's completely legal, but just
that can't.
Yeah, wow.
That's a solid point. I don't understand that there are so many legal ramifications from this stupid church.
I really feel like it's a worship thing. It's in service only. Nobody's showing up nude or anything. But still, you're right. I can't imagine.
Well, Mindy,
anyone.
Mindy on Facebook has a fantastic point also. She says, all the nakedness in the pews week after week, that's so unsanitary.
Yeah.
And that is very
they
true.
They would smell like pews.
Oh.
Like pew. Like pew. There's a like, joke there.
There's
like
there. The we're pew, gonna we're gonna get the joke.
Pew, pew.
We'll find it.
Hey.
We'll get it later.
Linda Peepee Smell Johnson.
Linda Peepee Smell Johnson attends this church. Thanks for calling.
Oh, final call.
Final call.
Final call. Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this church announced they were into nude worship, and there was an amazing increase in gym memberships that week.
Oh, you're right. Maybe that. Okay. You hit the nail on the head. That's what's going on. The pastor also owns a gym.
Yeah, well, no. What it is, you know, with, like, churches, they try and offer discounts, but a certain amount of people have to sign up for the gym.
Booyah.
They could only get 6 people to sign up for the gym, and they needed 10 to get the church discount. And so they decided to start offering nude worship, so therefore they could get at least 10 people signed up for their church gym membership. You just nailed it right there.
Nailed it.
Boom.
Totally nailed it.
Amazing. Thanks for the call. Oh, man, we got to take a quick break.
Good grief.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we've got Max from Astro Zombies and, of course, Comics Corner. But you got to get to our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We posted this article, Nude Worship.
We promise zero nudity in the next hour.
Yes, yes.
That's something you can count on from us every day.
Webcam! Could you? Okay.
No!
Quick break!
No!
Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static!
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Yes.
Steve-O Mateo hanging out with you.
Hello.
Our dear friend Max from Astro Zombies in studio as well.
What's up?
Yeah.
Dude, it is my favorite day of the week.
You love Comics Corner so
I just
much.
Love Comic Book Day in general.
Yeah.
Opportunity to be nerdy and hang out and, you know, have fun.
Friday, you have met your match.
Yeah, Friday totally has met its match. Wednesday has got Comic Book Day. It's also the evening that Arrow comes on, which happens to be one of my favorite television series in the universe.
Is there an episode tonight, or are they back on like a 3-week hiatus?
I think they're on a hiatus because of the stupid Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's like, archery, hello, yeah. It coincides.
Come on, guys.
That's all I want to see.
Yeah, but archery's a summer game.
Ugh. All right. Are we ready to do just about the greatest segment of the week?
Of the year.
Of the year.
Oh, nerds.
To the idiot mobile.
Hey, Comics Corner, I really want to see them because they're really, really cool. And singing in Spanish. Spanish is cool. It's our day in Olympics. Olympic time.
Comics Corner!
Just do it, nerd.
Just do it.
One, two, three, four.
said, I missed it.
Said that I was singing in Spanish.
You were.
In English.
You kind of did.
No, it was a made-up language that I have with myself.
What so. I want to hear is, I'm serious, the lyrical websites trying to decipher what the words really are to that song.
It's probably on our Wikipedia.
Could be.
We're
could
super
be.
Famous.
It is Comics Corner.
We don't have a Wikipedia.
Our favorite segment of the week.
We don't have a Wikipedia.
We don't. We do.
We
I
do?
Think K-Lite does, yeah.
Oh, dang.
Comics Corner brought to you by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. AstroZombies.com for more information. And joining us from Astro Zombies, Maximilian.
Good morning.
Not really Maximilian, but
close enough.
I'll call you Maximilian.
I like it.
That's pretty cool. Can I call you Lord Maxwell? Maxwell Lord.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Maxwell
you
Lord.
Can call me that one. Best villain ever.
You're gonna live forever.
Yes. You get periodic nosebleeds.
You're
gonna
get
take
so
over the world.
Bored, Max.
Yeah.
I know. Please,
Maxwell.
No wonder that guy went crazy. How would you not? If you were gonna live forever, you were a person, you'd get pretty bored.
Right. As
you'd
a human. I saw Interview with the Vampire. I know.
I'm just gonna take
Highlander.
Over
Does
the world.
Oh yeah, that totally. Yeah.
There can be only one.
True. True. We'll get to that because there
yeah,
really
we
can.
Will.
It coincides with something we got to talk about today.
Oh, snap.
But it is Comics Corner. There's so many books this week.
Unbelievable.
It's like feast or famine with us. It seems like there are weeks where it's like, oh, man, there's only a couple books this week to read for us. And then all of a sudden it's like, this week there were so many, we didn't even get to read a whole chunk of them.
I felt like I needed to buy a new backpack just to yeah. lug around all my books for this week.
It was pretty crazy. A lot of new comics. Some number ones, and man, let's dig into this. You, sir.
Let's do it.
You're a resident DC guy. You love Batman.
I do love Batman.
I love Batman as well, but like all comic book things, when they get successful, they try and overdo it.
Yeah.
Try and put too many things in there, which is why I inevitably end up quitting certain books.
Yeah, it's that oversaturation.
Sadly, I'm going to talk about that this week with one character whom I have loved since childhood that it seems like I may be putting down his comics for a little while. But we'll talk about that coming up. First!
Let's talk some Batman 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sneak peek at Batman Eternal, which is coming out in March.
So what is this?
Okay, so Batman Eternal is a new Batman series from Scott Snyder and a number of other creators.
Okay.
It's a weekly book.
Wow.
For 52 weeks.
Dang.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like 52.
Okay. It's going to be like 52, but just Batman.
Do you think they're actually going to hold to that, or do you think about a month or so
they
in?
They did it with 52.
They did it with 52.
They did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, it was the year that, what was that after? Infinite Crisis?
Yeah,
or?
It was the countdown to Final Crisis, so
yeah.
It was the like from Infinite Crisis to...
And it was like a whole year without Batman, Superman, without the big ones, so mm-hmm. It was every week there was, it was week one, it was week two, it was week three.
Man.
And they put one out every week.
They must
they
be
have good
better.
Ideas sometimes.
They must be better at it than Marvel, because I know when Marvel's like, oh, we're going to do this, I still haven't gotten my new copy of Miracle Man. What happened?
And that's all old material.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
it's
got that one lying around somewhere.
It comes out at the end of February.
Ah, yes, there you go. So, Batman.
All right, so, yeah, Batman 28 takes place... Well, it says soon, so I'm assuming
after
Forever Evil, which, yeah, I'm trying not to spoil too many things, but if you're a big Nightwing fan and you've been like, no, they're not going to kill him, they can't kill him, they can't kill Nightwing, I'm wearing my Nightwing shirt just today for that issue.
Oh,
it's not looking good for him.
Dang.
Batman's got a new sidekick, wears blue and black, and looks a lot like the Nightwing costumes.
Oh,
I don't know.
Nightwing, his solo comic came out this week, and as a ginormous Nightwing fan, I didn't even pick up the issue. Because he's like fighting the marionette, and it's not in continuity,
yeah,
and it's like, it's not even a great story. And I'm like, I don't care about the story. They're about to kill him. He is tied up somewhere, left for dead.
Man, I don't, like, sometimes I appreciate the fact that they do things out of continuity, but... Sometimes I hate it.
Yeah.
Like when something as big as Forever Evil is going on, why not make your book go with the story?
Right. Well, then, imagine that meeting. You'd have to get all the writers together and go, okay, guys, we're launching this series. I know all of your characters are off fighting these battles already. You need to find a way to somehow work it into the fact that... And what was Nightwing's book going to be? It'd be like 27 pages of him tied up.
It's true. That is a solid point.
Meanwhile, I'm still tied up.
You could probably get some cool stories out of that. If there was one issue where he was like, I don't know,
Yeah. Like having like backflashes while like deliriously being, you know, beaten up and tied to a chair. Yeah.
You never know.
You never know.
I would read that. I would read that. But so not looking good.
Not
the
looking
issue
good for
was
Nightwing,
excellent.
But the issue itself was really excellent. I was one part super happy that Batman is now no longer living in the past called Zero Year, and we're back to some current things. Two, I'm really curious as to what's going to happen at the end of Forever Evil, because a lot of his relationships there appear to have been major fallout from, and some people that you were like, yeah, you're the newest Bat ally, and it's going to be a great team up. Now they're like the supervillain power in Gotham. And
okay.
Also, spoiler alert, Stephanie Brown is back in the New 52.
What?
Yep.
That's funny that you said spoiler alert.
Yeah. Matt got it.
I got it.
Sorry, it's early. My jokes are they're only going to get worse from here. I'm sorry. That was
the
best
one I
had.
No, that's good. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. So if somebody hadn't been reading, because I dropped with Year Zero, it was, you know, you got Detective, you got Batman, you've got The Dark Knight,
Batman,
you got Batman
and
Robin.
There's
so many Bat books. If somebody wanted to pick up and go, hey, can they pick up this
issue
and be ready for Batman Eternal? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has nothing like
to go that route.
It literally just says soon, and then you're on a
and
whole
you're
brand
a whole new
story.
Right? There you go.
As long as you know that Batman is Bruce Wayne and his, you know, like if you know the most basic things about Batman, you're fine.
We were talking with Dawn, Teo's wife, because she started reading Harley Quinn and decided she wanted to kind of pick up a book here and there. And it's hard. You can't just jump in. Yeah. You can't just jump into Avengers 26 this week and go, oh, I totally know what's going on. So there are certain books where you can, certain books where you can't. There are some good ones where you can. So it's good to see that Batman
every
is
once
one
in a while,
them.
There's a point like midway through where you can kind of hop on the fence there.
Yeah.
Moving away from Batman, I guess.
Yeah.
Another good jumping on point this week. Spider-Man, it's number 27, and this is Superior Spider-Man. Now, up in the top corner, you can see on the webcam, it says Goblin Nation number 1. And a lot of the Marvel Now books right now, they've had a few like brand new number ones, like Punisher, X-Force, a few others. But then the regular books that have been running, they have this number one up in the corner because I think it's kind of a genius move. They've started a lot of story arcs right here. So you can just jump in. And the cool thing about it is, if you go to the page, like the splash page or whatever, wherever it is, maybe not. Nope, not in this one. But usually Spider-Man has like a thing at the beginning that catches you up.
Yeah.
But apparently in this one it does not. So, what's going on is Doc Ock is in Peter Parker's body.
No one knows that.
And the coolest thing about this story is that he's actually been superior to Peter in a lot of ways. Because he came in and he was like, why didn't Peter ever make his web shooters out of adamantium so they could never be broken?
Right.
You know, and why didn't he fix his formula so it would quit running out so fast? So, and then he's got like tons of little spiders crawling around the city, patrolling the city so he can actually like do things in some kind of orderly fashion and take care of stuff. And still, he's been making more time for Aunt May. Mm-hmm. He got a girlfriend. He got his PhD.
He
started a
business.
Company.
Yeah.
So he's been, in a lot of ways, he has been superior to Peter Parker.
Absolutely.
Because as our boy is just like us, where he's got all these great ambitions, but he still can't get off the couch because he's so lazy.
Yeah.
That's Peter. you know?
Yeah.
But not Doc Ock. But the craziest thing has happened is meanwhile, while he's been setting up this great network that he relies on so much, he's also got his own island now that he kind of, made J. Jonah Jameson give him. So it's an old shield fortress, and it's now called the new Spider Island. And he's got all these guards and these machines, and it's crazy. And he's been assembling this little army, this spider army, so he can take care of business. And meanwhile, under all this, the Green Goblin has been coming back, roping in all these other villains under him. They figured out what was going on with the spider bots and programmed them to where if there was anything Goblin related, like if the logo popped, there's like a little spray paint logo, if there was a person in a mask, anything Goblin related, the spider bots did not pick it up, did not report it. So months of preparation by Otto is now completely futile. Because the Green Goblin has amassed this army literally underground.
Yeah.
Right under his nose.
It's going to be incredible to see Doc Ock facing off against Green Goblin because it's Spider-Man and yet it's Doc Ock. And Peter has successfully beaten Green Goblin many a times before.
Yes.
But in different ways. One thing that I noted, on a like spiritually speaking, it reminded me of church. I mean, this morning we did a story where there's this church out in Virginia where they're doing nude worship.
Nude worship,
and
Max.
People are like, "What?" And it's crazy. And don't get me wrong, it's nuts. It's crazy. It's out there. It's wacky.
We posted
the story on Facebook. But you see, like, the differences because the it opens 31 days into Goblin, the Goblin Nation story arc, and you see the chaos. You see that even though he did everything this one way, bad things still happened.
They're just happening.
And so you see these two different Spider-Men, and Peter Parker's always done it this way, and Otto was like, well, I'm going to do it completely differently. And you saw the successes of the way Peter did it and the failures, and the successes of the way Superior Spider-Man did it and the failures, and yet, which is one really better than the other?
They're right in the same place.
Exactly. And so a lot of times you see in church, it's like, well, the worship has to be like this. We got to worship in the nude.
Oh,
we got to get laser lights. Yeah. We got to do it this way. And you get stuck in these, like, it has to be A, B, and C. And if it's not done exactly like this, it's wrong. And you see that there are successes and there are failures on both sides, no matter which way you did it.
Dude,
and it's kind of one of those letting go, allowing God to work and use you in whatever way he's going to use you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start comparing and start thinking that we're superior, when we start thinking that we are greater and the way that we do it is better than the way they do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go protest at the abortion clinic. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to this homeless shelter and I'm going to do it. And this is the way you do it.
Yes.
And this is how I'm going to spread love. Instead of comparing, if we were all just out there doing something superior, if we were all out there doing something and not comparing it to the other ways, maybe we'd get more accomplished.
That's solid, man.
Spider-Man.
It's all grace, because the measure by which we say we are good and I'm doing the right thing, that's the funniest thing, because no matter which pastor or which whatever, which theology you go by, whatever,
which denomination you're involved in,
at the bottom of it, the only reason you can have any of that
is Jesus.
The grace of God.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that's all you got. So we can sit around and argue and we can be Otto or we can be Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, there's still going to be bad crap happening all around you and you can't control it.
Well, yeah. I mean, we are saved by grace, right?
Yeah.
Through faith.
Yes.
Not anything that we can do. And, and Scripture says, so that no man can boast. If you could boast about your works and how you're superior and how you did this
God.
And I did that. Exactly. It would be based upon you, but it's not on you. It's truly just grace. Grace of God through the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. That is what it is. So that you can't boast about it.
Before you go jumping on Facebook talking about, you know, gender equality fails in the Bible, you need to remember we're all just covered by the grace. But anyway, this is a great jumping on point.
It's incredible.
One of the most, I don't know, the coolest scenes in Spider-Man over the past year is when Otto sits down with the Green Goblin, and then the Green Goblin says this little line, they're talking, and he goes, but we aren't really enemies, are we, Otto?
Mm.
And that's all you need to know. I'm not going to tell you how he knows. I'm not going to tell you anything else.
It's setting up for an incredible
This is
going to
be
story.
A great run. And we know that it's going to bring Peter back. So
you
got him milling about.
Sadly, we do know that.
In the brainscape.
Sadly. Well, I just don't like knowing stuff like that. I didn't like it when the New York Times told me that Captain America was going to be killed in like issue 25 or 6, whatever it was, in Brubaker's run. Because I did not know that was supposed to happen. And I wanted to read that for myself.
Well, that's on Marvel, man. They do that now.
Talk about spoiler alerts. You can't get away from those big giant spoilers. It would have been great that Peter came back and everybody was surprised for once, because you're never surprised. I shouldn't say never surprised. Can I move on to something?
let's talk about surprises.
All new X-Men number 23. It's part 3 of 5 of the Trial of Jean Grey. I am not going to say anything about this issue other than the fact there is a great character return from the X-Men world that has not been talked about, that was not spoiled by the media, that wasn't. And so that's seriously all I want to say. If you are an X-Men fan, if you are a fan of Scott Summers and the original X-Men, and you've been reading all these crazy X books and kind of wondering where you should be, all new X-Men, Brian Michael Bendis. Oh, man.
Are the Guardians in there?
Yes.
I've got to read it. That's Trial of Jean Grey Part 2.
This is Part 3.
Part 3?
Part 3. Part one was all new X-Men 22,
and then
Guardians, and now this finally progresses a little. Gladiator's in there.
Yeah.
They're kind of talking to Jean a little more about, hey, here's what's happening, mm-hmm. but others around are already seeing, wait, we're putting this girl on trial for crimes that she has not yet committed, but we think that she's going to commit them in her future, and so we're going to stop it kind of Minority Report style.
But the future self that created it is dead.
Is dead.
But this is her from the past, and she hasn't committed them yet, but it's the same person.
Right.
So she's probably going to do it, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, dude. That's a great...
So it's a very...
existential craziness going on.
It's incredible, and then they throw in a character there. They throw in some pretty amazing stuff at the end, to a point where I had to go on Wikipedia immediately and go, I thought this person was dead.
Oh, that's great.
What is happening? I'm so excited.
By the way, side note, if you are looking for a book to jump on Marvel,
yeah,
you need to get Guardians of the Galaxy.
Totally. Just this Absolutely. Morning, I got a text from my dear friend Joey Belleville because he called me yesterday and said, dude, I need a book. What should I get? And I said, let me hook you, let me reel you in, because I bought volume one of Guardians in the hardcover version, and I gave him my little code, you know, because I wasn't going to use the digital code. So I gave him the digital code, said, here you go, it's the first three issues, and he's freaking out.
It's good.
It is one of my absolute favorite books.
And you might have to do a little bit of Wikipedia research, because you had to catch me up on a couple things.
Yeah, but they started over well enough.
Brian Michael Bendis writes, you're right there with him. It's like watching a sitcom, a TV show. He writes like a TV writer.
And
he's
McNiven
probably done
doing the
TV
art
stuff.
Is
probably actually
the art is incredible.
The art is great, and then when McNiven stops, a girl named Sarah Pacelli starts, and she is awesome. She's just as good.
Yeah,
it's a good book.
It's a great book
to pick up on.
All new X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy, two books I highly, highly recommend, especially if you're an X-Men fan.
And it's cool that they're tied together right now.
Yes they are.
Great.
Okay, I got a question for you, Max, because Wolverine and the X-Men, a big series coming to a close. Last month, we saw Wolverine and Cyclops kind of coexist in an issue, and it felt like there was some really good closure.
They hugged it out. As close as Cyclops and Wolverine are ever going to get to hugging.
Exactly. And Aaron's coming. It's coming close to the end of his run. I think Graduation, the next issue. I think it's his last issue. I'm not sure. I think either this one or the next one. But here's the thing. As we talked about everybody having too many books right now, Wolverine's the dude that I feel like I'm going to have to back off on, because last week we saw Wolverine number one, and for the first time I was actually confused, because I was like, wait, he lost his powers. Which Wolverine book did he lose his powers in? I don't even know what they're talking about. How come all of a sudden I have to read every Wolverine book to understand what's going on in his world? And it was so frustrating. So
I hear you.
What happened?
I don't know.
He fought Sabretooth. He lost his powers. I have no idea.
Yeah, he was battling with Sabretooth, and
It Savage Wolverine?
He must have been Savage Wolverine, because it wasn't in any book that I read, and I'm reading Wolverine and Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
So, unless it was in, the Wolverine Max universe,
which is
supposed to be out of continuity. So, it's got to be in Savage Wolverine.
These are the small things that... Yeah, there you go.
I looked up the X-Men theme.
These are the small things that make me crazy, and that was one of them where it was enough, wait, why does he have armor now? Wait, why does he have a gun? What is happening to Wolverine? He lost his powers. How did that happen?
Oh, we had a really awesome discussion yesterday at the store about why Wolverine would ever need to carry a gun, and nobody could come up with a good answer. And I said, just for that last page of that last book, that's the only reason.
Absolutely.
Drives me crazy.
Scooter didn't come up with a good reason.
No, Scooter had nothing.
Come on, Scooter.
Scooter was picketing and rioting that he was carrying a gun in the first place.
That's my boy.
So,
I love you, Scooter.
This week, Wolverine and the X-Men number 41 comes out, and it's definitely not a jumping on point. It's just kind of one of those, Aaron's coming to the end of his run, and let's wrap up the loose ends, because next issue is Graduation for the school. It was a good issue, one that had a lot of questions. Did you read Wolverine and the X-Men?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I managed to sneak a copy.
It was interesting.
Yeah. It's not a jumping on point, but it's building towards a finale.
It is.
Where Cyclops is going to give Wolverine a bumper sticker that says Cyclops was right.
Yeah.
Here's your graduation present.
It's going to be a Cyclops fish eating a Wolverine fish.
Yeah.
So there you go.
What? There are fish involved? This is crazy.
I see X-Men. There's all kinds
X-Men
of
X-Men are crazy,
involved.
Y'all.
Oh, man. Speaking of,
More X-Men.
Yes. If you want a jumping on point, one of my favorite characters in all of comic books' name is Cable.
Cable.
Also, Nathan Christopher Dayspring Ascani-san Summers.
He knows his real name.
Wow. You got that. Damn.
Yeah. He is one of my favorite since I was a kid, and he's got a new series. X-Force number 1 releases this week with a whole new cast. It's Cable, you've got Psylocke, you've got Phantom X, and randomly you have Marrow, who has always been an X-Men villain. She was the one with all the bones that she could pull off and throw things. And the narration, if you will, throughout is from her perspective, and it was making me crazy because she talks like Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You're making me crazy.
She's like this teenage girl, and I felt I wanted to punch the narrator in the face because it was like I was reading Twilight because...
Let's do it. Like, let's get in our cars and drive out to New York.
Yes. Yes. It's like she's talking like the girl from Twilight's talking, and it's making me want to punch things. But it was a great issue throughout. The art is awesome.
The art was really cool.
And the story, I mean, it's definitely a number one. You can just grab it, and there's not a whole lot, basically, to it. There's special forces agencies throughout the world in many different countries, and mutants don't have a special forces group. They get to go to different nations, and Black Ops take each other out, and that's the purpose of X-Force.
Yeah.
The end. And it's awesome.
It was so cool.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with that because it is a jumping on point. It is a new number one.
I was super happy that Phantom X was back in the X-Force. That was...
Me too. And his interaction with Psylocke. So if you cared about Uncanny X-Force back in the day and all the different relationships, they did a really, really good job of that and of making it easy for you to jump on if you wanted to grab onto a book. So
that's cool.
Okay.
Not easy to jump on.
No.
Avengers number 26. This is written by a guy named Jonathan Hickman. He did a great story called Infinity. We covered it. You know we did. And now this is kind of post all that stuff. And last issue... Some Avengers came back, kind of like...
Forever Evil
DC. Well, kind of like all new X-Men. These are the original Avengers. Mm. But then we find out they're not from our past. They're from a parallel universe.
And they're bad guys.
And they're bad guys, just like Forever Evil.
Just Forever like Evil decaf version.
Yeah.
Yes. Forever Evil decaffeinated. But in this issue, one thing I did like is that we learn it's not exactly the same story. There's a little more going on in the background because of AIM. These scientists, if you saw Iron Man 3 last year, you learned about AIM.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. And they're in this issue, and they're pretty much like if all the scientists in the world just threw ethics out the window and said, hey, let's just do what we do for the love of it.
Yeah.
Just for science itself. So these guys are creating all kinds of crazy things, and we find out the reason that they brought these Avengers over. They brought them over on purpose, number one. We find that out.
Yeah.
And there is a big reason. It is different than Forever Evil. But I will say, Hickman is all about some science, and this issue is not easy to follow.
No.
There were a few times where I had to reread paragraphs, but I know... in Hickman, I trust, because the next issue, it's probably going to explain a lot. I'll be like, oh!
It's like one-on, one-off issues.
Exactly how it works. The last issue, it was like, oh, is he copying? You knew what was going on. It was like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. This issue, you're like, oh, okay, well, they're not totally copying, but I am so confused. And I'm hoping that next issue, it'll be a little bit more like,
get here and explain to me what happened in February.
Yeah. Of all the Avengers books right now, this is honestly my least favorite.
New Avengers is awesome.
New Avengers, incredible. Avengers World, incredible. This one.
Secret Avengers is really cool, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's a new one, right?
Yeah.
So... There's a lot of Avengers books right now, and this one is definitely not a jumping on. I spent a couple hours last night helping my son with the science fair project on Thursday, so I thought I knew anything about science, and then I read this and felt like a complete moron. So it's definitely...
That's always a good way to start your Wednesday.
It's heady, man!
But consider it a challenge. If you're out there and you don't want your normal comics fair, Avengers is the book for you. Because
challenge
Jonathan,
accepted, superhero DNA. Yeah,
Jonathan Hickman is confusing.
Yeah, so he's becoming my new Grant Morrison. Grant Morrison is a comic writer that I will not read a single issue of on its own because from month to month he crams so much heavy information into it that by next month you've forgotten half of it and you're lost. And so with Hickman, he's starting to become, with this run anyways, just with this run, it's feeling like one that I kind of want to put aside until the graphic novel comes out so I can read it in its entirety and go, oh, right, science!
Yeah.
Okay!
Infinity was it was easier to digest because we were reading Avengers and New Avengers and the Infinity
series. So, like,
series.
Week in and week out, we were being reminded.
You were being reminded.
We've been bombarded with science.
Right now, New Avengers is on one story, and this Avengers, regular Avengers, is on a different story.
Yeah.
So it is a little more confusing.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of evil guys taking over the universe.
The big book this week.
Yeah, and everybody going toe-to-toe. We've been talking about it for months, Forever Evil. It's kind of, in my opinion, been the savior of DC Comics for me because I've not been a fan of the New 52, and this is kind of showcase the good side of the New 52 and things that you can love about it, other than Green Arrow, because that's not part of the continuity of
Superman and Wonder Woman.
Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, what
it's
is
one
going
I'm not reading.
On?
I need to read it.
If like I picked up and I've been like collecting them because I'm like, yeah, this is a great series. I'm going to read it one day. I sat down and got caught up yesterday.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really?
Awesome. Like, everything about it is incredible. It's everything you would want from a Wonder Woman or a Superman book in, like, one book.
Do they fly around and hold hands?
Like, a little bit, but Wonder Woman totally showed up in issue 5 and, like, beat down Zod and Fiora.
This is cool.
They were, like, pummeling Superman. She showed up. She's like, you want to play with a warrior?
Nice. But it's not in continuity, right? Or is it? Is it after? Is it before?
See, this is why DC confuses me.
Me too.
Don't be using that continuity word around here, man. Come on.
You're right.
You're making me confused. I know.
I'm sorry, man.
I don't know when it takes place, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are they dating? Are they together? So it's got to be...
Yeah, they're...
Wonder Woman's, like, on the fence about it.
You know, she's got a warrior's heart. And
yeah, she's like,
important.
I'm a princess and a warrior, and you're still just a man, and
And he's like, but I'm Kryptonian. And she's like, I know, and you look great, but I just don't know. He's like, I'm Superman, Wonder Woman.
No, the real
what
thing is, like,
want?
Clark Kent is a deal breaker. She's like, oh, I'll date Superman all afternoon, but you bring that Clark Kent guy along, and...
Wow.
That's hilarious. Maybe that's one to check out. Superman, Wonder Woman. It's, what, 5 issues in or something
like
that?
Yeah, 5 issues.
That's funny. Anyway.
Continuity. Forever Evil. The supervillains have taken over. The Justice League is dead. No, they're not. They're somewhere else that I don't want to ruin for you.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing. And what I've loved about the way that Geoff Johns, and granted, he's not the writer here, but you know that he orchestrated all of this.
Well, Matt Kent's a great writer.
And prepared it, yeah. And you know he prepared the story arc for this. I love that the quote-unquote B characters get their day. Martian Manhunter and Stargirl have become two of my favorite characters in the entire DC universe over the course of the last 12 issues of Justice League of America. It's absolutely
so
amazing.
Cool.
I'm a little, like, saddened that this series is coming to an end. But are they, I mean, we know that obviously it kind of has to because the team is going to be a little, the faces are going to look a little different, if you will. But do we know how it's going to carry forward? Like, is it going to be in continuity?
You mean you're talking like post for everyone?
Post.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a few things here or there, seen a couple of things, and it looks like there will be some new members.
Okay.
Because there's also going to be the Justice League United, and there's still going to be Justice League, and then there's still going to be Justice League of America. But it looks like they're all going to be in continuity. You know, just like there's Avengers, Secret Avengers, and New Avengers.
I picked up Justice League of America specifically because I really, really enjoyed the different take on Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And so I was hoping for more of that. And he was around for maybe 5 issues.
I don't know where he is right now.
What is he doing?
Well, he must be trapped with the rest of the Justice League, I guess.
Because he's like nowhere.
Wait, didn't they say, and it was either in this one or it was in Forever Evil, that he's off in space?
No, Hal Jordan is off in space.
You're right. He is trapped because he's freaking out because he's in that weird universe
where everybody
thinks he's a terrorist.
Boz.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
So he is. He is in there. You're right. He's trapped in the same place.
I forgot Boz was
Earth. It's just frustrating because it's like, man, it's a great new character. Oh, you're going to shelve him? Okay, cool.
Yeah, cool. We'll get back to that later.
We'll get
back
to that dude eventually. I did want to say this issue was my go-to issue this week for, you know, every time we're reading comics, every time we're doing anything with art or culture, we always try and look at the bigger picture and the deeper things and what is this commentary trying to say? What is this piece of art trying to tell us? Justice League of America number 12 blew my mind.
Yep.
I mean, what you guys, give me your take. Like,
I loved
thoughts.
So Martian Manhunter and Stargirl are the ones that we're focusing on in this series. And the way that Martian Manhunter tells his story to inspire Stargirl Genius.
Yeah.
Loved it. Not going to say any more than that because I want you to read it.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I read this issue twice. Mm. With all the other great books to read this week, I had to read it, and then I went back later at the end of the night, and I was like, okay, I'm going to like read this issue
right
now. And just those final couple pages when you like realize what John's has been up to the whole time.
Yeah.
And just the endless well of power that Stargirl has for hope.
Yeah.
And for not giving up. I had goosebumps from it.
Yeah,
it
dude.
Intense.
Well, here's the thing, man. We are all created in the image of God. Scripture says we're created in the image of God. And God, this is part of our vision of Static Radio, is there are many creative people in this world because we're created. If we're created in the image of God, God's pretty creative. He created all of this.
A little bit creative there.
Yeah. So if he's pretty creative, I'm pretty sure we have the capacity for creativity. And unfortunately, it seems like a lot of times people are ripping each other off, i.e. DC Comics versus Marvel right now. We feel a little ripped off in some of the areas. But, you know, everybody, when they come up with a brand new idea, it's inspiring, and if we're looking for it, we can see the greater picture. C.S. Lewis once said that every story is just a retelling of the story.
Mm.
Everything. We're told in Ecclesiastes that God has placed eternity in our hearts. We are seeking for that. We're longing for that, which is why we have addiction, which is why we have those things, because we're constantly searching for something to satisfy us. And if it's not Jesus, it's not going to satisfy us. And we're just going to keep searching and seeking and addictions and chaos and trouble. But there was something that happened in this comic book that I read this week where it was talking about the hope we have and how when you look at a superhero, you're thinking heroism, you're thinking sacrifice, when it's not even heroism, it's not really sacrifice. What it is hope.
Mm.
And it was this clinging to the hope that you have. And it reminded me of 1 Corinthians, because Paul reminds us of this great hope that we do have. You know, whatever you believe, if your hope is set for this life only, it's sad and it's doomed to fail. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about that, because there were people saying, no, Jesus didn't really die and rise from the dead. That's impossible. Humans can't rise from the dead. And he said, okay, well, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Because there was so much proof, there was so much evidence at the time in culture that Jesus Christ, the man, really did die and really did rise from the grave. There were hundreds of witnesses, and in a court of law, you see hundreds of witnesses. You can't claim mass hysteria. People with their own eyes saw this raised human being. And so he's saying, look, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain.
Mm.
We are even found to be misinterpreting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead can't be raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sin. Because if Christ didn't really die, if Christ didn't really rise from the dead, then there's no atonement for your sin. Then all those people who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Because if our hope in Jesus is so that, man, we make this car payment, or that he takes care of that test that you have, and our hope is only that our life is good right now, then we're to be pitied, because that's no hope, because we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Because all of us are going to one day take our last breath, and we will die. And so if our hope is that we have a fluffy family, and we got the picket fence, and we got the dog, and we've got the American dream going, which sadly is a lot of people's quote-unquote hope, then that's no hope at all. But the good news is, he says in verse 20, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For by one man came death, and by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And it talks about this incredible hope that we have. And the hope isn't for right now. The hope isn't so that we feel better. And yes, we can totally pray for those things. We can totally ask for those things. And those are really great, wonderful things. It's not that if you have wealth, you're not a Christian. Or if you are attractive, then you're less of a person. But if your hope is specifically on earth and your hope is not founded in Jesus Christ and it's not an eternal hope, a blessed hope that there was a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to earth to die for us, to conquer the grave so that we could spend eternity with him, then that's a crappy hope. It's a crappy hope that we have.
It's true.
And so it was incredible to see that above heroism, above sacrifice, above anything else, that this issue was all about hope and discovering the hope within you that we all have. Scripture tells us that Christ died once for all, and it's within us. There's eternity placed in our hearts, and we're searching for answers for a reason. We're searching for something for a reason, and that's because it's placed within us by a God who loves us and wants us to seek him, wants us to find him. And it blew my mind this week, the idea of the hope being what it is, what it's all about, that assurance, that hope that heroism is real and that the sacrifice is important. And that's our hope, man. And it was incredible.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
How did you get that out of a comic book, you crazy person?
Justice League of America is one of my favorite books right now.
It is good.
It's incredible.
It's good. It's a good one to pick up. And how many issues? 12
issues in. 12
issues
in.
You could probably go back and start at number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a rad series to get involved in, because I'm telling you, it's kind of like the B team, if you will. And yeah, it's these lower individuals who are not Superman, who are not Batman, and yet are quote unquote superheroes, and just wanting to make a difference and wanting to do things and wanting to be heroic and wanting to be sacrificial, and how it doesn't matter how great your powers are, anybody can be a hero if you have that hope.
Nothing. I've saw Stargirl and Manhunter be more heroic than I've seen any hero in like the last year.
Yeah. I love it. So it's one of those rad books that
it also ends with
super enjoyable,
a great cliffhanger.
It does, and this is it. I mean, this story is coming to an end in issue 13, as far as the story arc. So I can't wait.
When
till
is the final
month.
Issue?
I don't know.
Is it the next one?
Well, Forever Evil is 7 issues, and
we have 5 so far.
Is it like April or May?
Gosh,
is that the last issue?
No, it's sooner than that.
Yeah,
dang, dude,
it is quite soon. It is coming to an end.
Because it's like it's like April that Forever Evil ends.
Yeah,
and
that'll be around there.
And 7's really, I think, just going to be a conclusion issue. So
Justice League of America, Volume 1 is out. So if you're wanting to like kind of catch up, I think it's issues 1-5 in the hardcover. So, yeah, we're getting close.
Getting close.
We're getting really close. So
it's going to happen.
Pretty excited. So there you go.
There you go.
Justice League.
Yeah, also,
good stuff.
Moving on from comics news into a little bit of movies, they announced that the guy that's been doing the voice of Jarvis in the Avengers and Iron Man,
Paul Bettany. You may know him from such films as A Knight's Tale.
Yeah, wasn't he in Da Vinci Code too? Wasn't he like the albino guy? Was that him?
Yes.
Okay.
He was in that crazy angel movie.
Yes.
What was it? Legion?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, what was he in?
I never saw it.
Anyway, he's going to play the Vision.
What?
Official announcement, I guess. Pretty crazy.
The Vision is going to be slightly British?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Slightly.
I see the take that they're doing. Like, I understand, because more than likely, Ultron's going to be more of a Tony Stark thing, and this is just me going off kind of trying to piece it together. Yeah, so it could be totally wrong. But so it would make sense to me that Ultron would turn Jarvis against Tony through the Vision or whatever. So maybe that'll be it. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. Dude,
I hope that's right, because that sounds kind of entertaining.
Yeah. I would watch that movie.
I watch it anyway, man. what else did they announce? They announced that, the Gotham series that's coming to TV.
Oh,
which
that's
is,
right.
It's going to be like the prequel Batman, but its own universe thing. It cast...
they're Jim Gordon.
They cast Jim Gordon. It's the kid. He was Ryan in the OC, and I don't know his name, but he was the main guy in a show called Southland.
Yeah.
They cast Penguin. They cast somebody else. They cast a bunch of people for the show already.
Man.
No word on Bruce Wayne yet.
Well, he's going to start out a kid, right?
Yeah. But so doesn't but they said by the end of the season, Batman.
End of the season or end of the I don't remember.
So we'll see. There was a little bit of Flash news. What was that?
Yeah, for those of you who don't watch Arrow, it's Wednesday night CW and one of my favorite shows. Also kind of the B character underdog, seeing people who can make a change. You see the flashbacks of all, and he's kind of a jerk.
Yeesh.
This pretty boy gajillionaire, and to see his life change dramatically and how it affects him, and to want to make a change and to be the hero. You always love those redemption stories.
Yeah.
There's here in season two, they're spinning another redemption story. Roy Harper's in this season. Oh man, it's an incredible series. But they introduced the Flash a few episodes ago, and they're starting a new pilot for the Flash. But DC and Warner Brothers have come out and said, "Hey, if for some reason the Flash show fails and it's not as good as Arrow, no worries, because they're going to definitely keep him around on Arrow." So
that's cool.
So it's kind of a wait and see. Maybe the Flash does well, and if it doesn't and it fails, then they'll just use him in Arrow because he was fantastic on Arrow. So.
And do you know who else got cast in the Flash?
Who else got cast in the Flash?
The guy that played, his name is John Wesley Shipp. He played Barry Allen / the Flash in the old 90s
TV
show. He has been cast in the new one, but it's a yet to be named role.
Oh man!
A lot of people are speculating.
I wonder if it's gonna be Jay Garrick.
A lot of people are speculating that it's Barry Allen's imprisoned father.
Ooh.
Okay.
But yeah, he's in. He was also the dad on Dawson's Creek. If you're a Dawson's Creek fan,
he was the dad on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah,
the fact that you know that
he was Dawson's
makes
dad.
Me sad.
Man, don't you talk to me about Dawson's Creek? Don't you? No, I'm not. There's not enough time. There's not enough time. The Guardians of the Galaxy trailer got classified, which means that they clocked it. Like it said, it's going to be 2 minutes and 20-something seconds. And when a trailer gets classified, that usually means that it will be premiering in the next few weeks.
Yep.
Now, Toy Fair New York is going on, and that's where a lot of toy companies premiere like their figure lines for stuff. So some people were thinking that maybe that could be it. And we know that Captain America is coming out in April, but this is leading a lot of people to believe that we'll see it within like a couple of weeks.
Why not before RoboCop today?
It could be. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, have fun on your trip. I'm seeing it without you.
Go see it. It's gotten reviewed pretty well.
Yeah,
I've been reading
interested
some stuff.
To see. Because, man, the original, I remember, I saw that as a kid.
I did too.
And then recently I tried rewatching it and it was like, oh my gosh.
They just
blew
it apart
than Die Hard.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
That was my first R-rated movie.
Yeah, don't let your kids watch that movie because it is not acceptable.
The old one. But apparently the new one is far less violent.
Okay.
And it's PG-13.
Okay. We'll see. We'll definitely be talking about that film because I know we're going to go see it because my boys, of course, they put the trailer before like every cool kid movie. And so then my boys are freaking out wanting to see RoboCop. And that's definitely one where it's like, you know, I think I'm going to see that one
just
first.
Because of the one that came
probably
out in the 80s.
Not. Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. There's no way.
It was so violent.
There's no way.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. But and another big rumor. I read this last night. Supposedly, we're going to be seeing the Bat suit and the Wonder Woman costume very soon.
I'm really excited to see the Wonder Woman costume.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bat suit is a Bat suit.
Right.
Right.
Please.
Well,
I just want to know.
I do not want the straight black armor thing anymore.
Well, it doesn't make any sense for Batman to wear straight black armor. He would never be able to blend in the shadows.
That's true.
All kinds of light would be reflecting off that thing.
That's true.
It's like a disco ball out there.
Batman, you listen to the BG.
We can see you, Batman. We can see you.
You can come out now.
Just come down.
The Joker would be like, are you staying alive over there?
hey,
leg out.
Wow.
I want it to be something more akin to the new 52 suit.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith, who has seen, he's good friends with Ben Affleck, he's seen it, and he said it's the suit that a lot of people want to see. So hopefully.
Good.
I mean, they did that black armor suit since 1989.
Yeah.
Let's do something else.
Hey, at least back then, Keaton had the yellow and black.
See, I'm a fan of just the black bat.
Yeah.
Like the animated series, the kind of second volume of it, when he had the pouch belt and just the black bat.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Batman costume.
Yeah. As long as it's offset with color.
Yeah.
Like gray.
Just
or,
something. It doesn't have to be like color. You know, like I'm not asking for the Adam West costume.
Get to our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can check out Max's super awesome comic review show.
Yeah.
Man, you're already up to number 6.
I know.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Man, you a YouTube
crazy
star, Max. You want them YouTubes.
Comics Corner brought to you by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast. AstroZombies.com for more information. Or, as I said, check out our Facebook page. You can check out Max's super awesome comic review show in its entirety.
We have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. You can see Max.
Yeah.
You can see what he looks like. On radio.
That's probably glorious.
For their best.
So there you go. What'd you learn today?
I learned a lot of stuff. I learned that there's some bunch of crazies out in Virginia that want me to come to their church, and I probably will. I learned that there are awesome comic books that come out every week that if you read them through a different kind of lens, you can get a lot more out of them than just Spider-Man beating up on the Green Goblin. let's see. What else did I learn? I also learned that it's Michael McDonald's birthday, and for that, the world should be thankful.
Yeah, they
should. What did you learn?
Man, what did you learn, Max?
Well, Stargirl, Martian Manhunter, they taught me a lot about hope. Batman taught me that my favorite character from DC is probably not going to be around a whole lot longer.
So
I will be having, you know, memorial services later at Astro Zombies.
Gosh,
we'll
come
when that happens.
We'll show up.
And I learned that I still love waking up early Wednesday mornings and coming down here.
Yeah.
And listening to you guys.
There you go.
Ramble.
All right. That's it for us. We out. We will see you guys again mañana. Well, actually, we
won't. I won't. You will.
Pray for Teo. He's hopping on a jet plane. He's going to be gone for a few days.
Yeah, I'll be back on Monday.
Steve-O and Mitch in the morning tomorrow.
And then Steve-O and Celeste in the morning.
Yeah, on Friday.
For a Valentine's Day edition you do not want to miss.
It's going to be incredible. If you miss any part of the show, you can check it out at mystaticradio.com.
Oh, also, tomorrow is the big Theology Thursday debate.
Yeah, creationism versus evolution. We are going to have two Bible-believing Christians who disagree on how old the Earth is.
It's going to be kind of more old Earth, new Earth.
Yeah, and how to check that out through the lens of Scripture. And it's going to be a fun discussion, man.
Yeah, and I'm going to podcast it.
Brian Nixon and Jarrett Petro, they're bringing their brains and their Bibles and some science, and they're going to be talking about the age of the Earth tomorrow in our 9 a.m. hour Theology Thursday, taking it... Man.
And we don't have to agree, but we do have to agree well. So tune in.
Well, the very basis is they both believe
disagree
that God created the heavens and the earth.
That's what I want to say.
So once you have established that, how old is the earth? We're going to discuss it tomorrow. So
yeah,
make sure you tune in for that.
Oh, I'm sad I'm missing that.
Yeah, you should be.
Dang, dude.
That's it for us, Max. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
We will. We'll see you again next Wednesday.
Well, I'll be here.
All right.
Woohoo.
For all of us here at Static Radio, blah, 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 Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static Radio.